Welcome to Leonard Legal Buzz from the law firm of Leonard Street & Dinard. Activist investors are aggressively pursuing public companies in an effort to get them to tighten their operations in ways they believe will improve shareholder value, and sometimes with the underlying intent of removing management or selling the company. Minnesota-based companies are not immune to attacks by these types of investors and need to protect themselves by being better informed about how to prevent these pursuits and about what can happen if they themselves are pursued. Here to discuss activist investors are two shareholders from Leonard Street & Dinard's public company practice group. Steve Quinlivan, who's spent his 18-year career representing public companies in Minnesota, as well as New York, Hong Kong, and London, and Jill Radloff, who is also focused on representing public companies in the areas of mergers and acquisitions, SEC filings, and issues related to activist investors. Steve, Jill, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jill, let me start with you. Why are we hearing so much about activist investors?
Well, to begin with, we're hearing so much about activist investors because they're well-funded. Reports are out there that hedge funds hold over $1.5 trillion in assets and are looking to invest those and to receive high returns. So some of these hedge funds, as well as other activist investors, are out there actively targeting companies. We're also hearing more about activist investors because of the important role that ISS is playing. Many pension trustees and investment advisors are deferring to ISS in order to meet their fiduciary obligations. As a result, these pension trustees and investment advisors are following ISS recommendations, and many believe that ISS has an activist bent and is therefore supportive of activist investors. The SEC has also made it easier for activist investors. The SEC rules now permit unlimited solicitation without SEC clearance, as long as there is no proxy card included in the materials and the activist investor files the materials with the SEC. What this means is that activist investors can engage in campaigns through letter writing, they can do press releases and newspaper ads, all without having the materials pre-cleared by the SEC. Activist investors also have the potential to engage in the campaigns through internet distribution rather than paper mailings, which reduces the cost for the activist investors. One of the other things that we're hearing more about is that this is no longer just an East Coast or West Coast phenomenon. It is now coming closer to home. In just the last several years, we've had companies that are home-based in Minnesota targeted by activist investors, such as Select Comfort, Target, and the former parent of Masaba Airlines, Mir Holdings.
What companies are susceptible to activist investors, and what are the goals of activist investors?
There can be a variety of reasons that a company would be susceptible to activist investors. One of them would be if a company has low capitalization, then the activist investor will require less cash in order to achieve their goals of obtaining a higher return. A company could also be susceptible to activist investors if it has perceived undervalue. Another reason that a company could be susceptible to activist investors is if the activist investors believe that the company has the ability to cut costs and therefore achieve higher returns. A company may also be a target of an activist investor if it has excess cash on its balance sheet or if it has a greater borrowing availability. The activist investors can see that as an opportunity to increase their returns by achieving value related to those items. A company may also be a target of activist investors if it has a diverse asset base. An activist investor can see that diversity as a potential for a spinoff so that the company can refocus and generate returns. A company may also be a target if the investor has a large institutional ownership base. The institutional investors can therefore target their focus on those larger owners and achieve greater efficiency that way. Finally, if a company is believed to have a poor management or governance structure, the activist investors may seek board seats or a change in management to achieve their goals.
Steve, how successful are activist investors?
Activist investors are surprisingly successful. Research quotes success rates of 66 to 84%. I personally believe that these statistics are somewhat overstated because the activists like to count any concession by management, no matter how meaningless, as a success. However, other statistics indicate they have full success 40% of the time, which is still a pretty impressive success rate. Why are they successful? Well, they make credible demands. Many of them have past track records of success, so both ISS and the investors listen to what they have to say. As we'll talk throughout today's podcast, they can easily go hostile under the SEC rules without much time or expense. And there's also what's known as the Wolfpack phenomenon. When one activist investor announces a campaign, several usually follow on. This can lead to an upward trend in the share price as the activists accumulate their stakes, causing the long-term investors to sell out and leaving management with a hostile shareholder base.
And what tactics do activist investors use?
The initial approach varies. Sometimes they seek a meeting with management. Other times they file a Schedule 13D with the SEC. A Schedule 13D needs to be filed by anybody who owns more than 5% of a public company's stock, and they have to state their plans and intentions in the 13D. So the activists usually use that as a platform to attach a poison pen letter where they announce their demands to management and the world. Another tactic that the activists use are just vote no campaigns. They usually use this in conjunction with the company's annual meeting, and they encourage stockholders to vote against a proposal that's on the ballot or to withhold votes from directors. This is cheap and easy. However, it only works where the activist does not seek a board seat. Here again, no proxy statement is required because you're not seeking any authority to vote any shares. You're just encouraging people to vote no. However, some of these materials may still have to be filed with the SEC. The activist investor may seek to elect a short slate, which is seeking to elect a minority of the board. Here they may do this because they perceive that they'll have greater success than electing the full board or a majority of the board. Perhaps ISS is more likely to support the activists, and other investors will also perceive less risk than replacing the full board. An activist investor can also seek to elect a majority of the board, but what's important with both short slates and majority slates is that the campaigns can be launched long before a proxy statement is filed. Practically, what this means is the battle is won or lost long before the shareholder meeting or before a proxy statement is filed.
Jill, what can a company do to prevent attacks by activist investors?
Well, the old adage that the best defense is a good offense is going to hold true here. The key is to have a clear plan and communicate that plan. Companies should meet with investors, and they should be prepared to listen to the investors and put into action the points that the investors raise. The company should also be prepared to address capital availability needs and to address any operational shortfalls from projections and do that in advance of any attack by an activist investor. Companies should also work with their board of directors to make sure that the board is backing management strategies related to the operations of the company. A company may also want to review their advance notice provisions in the bylaws. These provisions provide that investors need to give advance notice prior to taking an action at the company's meeting so that the company is not surprised. There have been several recent Delaware cases over the last year regarding the parameters that are permissible for advance notice bylaw provisions.
And Steve, how should a company respond to activist investors?
Well, we certainly recommend that they consult with an attorney and form a team which consists of both in-house counsel, the chief financial officer, the director of investor relations, and possibly an outside PR firm that has extensive experience in dealing with activist investors. The first bridge to cross is to consider what is going to be gained by having a meeting with the activist investors or what might be lost by not having the meeting. If you decide to have a meeting, you might get insights as to the activist's goals. You might correct misunderstandings the activist has. It's also important to note that stalling is not likely to cause an activist to abandon its campaign. Usually they've done their homework and have validated their investment strategy and are too tenacious to just give up and go home. Also, if you decide not to meet with the activist investor, that can lead to bad PR because the activist can claim that the company won't even meet with its shareholders, and that may not be well received by the investing community. If you decide to meet with the activist investor, consider the legal implications of the information that you give the activist investor, such as liability under insider trading laws and Regulation FD. If you decide to resist the activist demands, make sure you can deliver a compelling message to the marketplace so that investors will support your position. Begin to prepare for a proxy battle, and stay in touch with your other shareholders so that you can assess your chances of success as you move through the process. A good example of this is Carl Icahn's recent proxy battle to gain control of the Yahoo board. Prior to the annual meeting, Icahn discontinued his proxy battle and settled for less than a majority of the board because other investors were telling Icahn that he was not going to be successful. So in the end, we'd just like to remind everybody that all public companies should be watching for activist investors, being prepared to deal with them, and having a plan in place that can be rapidly implemented.
Well, you've certainly given our listeners a lot to consider, Steve and Jill. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And thank you to our listeners for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about activist investors, we invite you to contact us at 612-335-1500 or visit us online at www.leonard.com, where you can find a more detailed discussion of activist investors in the August 2008 Securities and Mergers and Acquisitions Update. Leonard Street & Dinert is among Minnesota's largest law firms, with offices in Minneapolis, St. Cloud, and Mankato, Minnesota, and in Washington, D.C. From its regional base, Leonard Street & Dinert serves clients throughout the United States and internationally. The firm employs nearly 200 attorneys in more than 40 practice areas, and since its founding in 1922, has helped generations of clients achieve their business objectives through astute legal advice complemented by good common sense. To learn more, visit Leonard Street & Dinert's website at www.leonard.com. This podcast is provided by the law firm of Leonard Street & Dinert as a service to clients and the general public. The information contained in this recording is neither designed nor intended to be relied upon as specific legal advice to any individual or organization. Listeners should always consult with their attorney about specific legal matters.